Jerusalem was more than a city. It was considered a symbol of God's people as the chosen generation. God chose them for His purpose. It was a symbol because it was a place on the earth where God lived with His chosen elect. But because of Israel's cumulative sin for generations, because so many times they had turned their back on what God had done for them, as you read through the book of Lamentations, you see how this nation endures a horrible punishment. I would challenge you, if you've never read through the book of Lamentations, to do so. It's a short chapter. It's only five, or a short book. It's only five chapters long of poetic songs of the unknown author that writes to a God recognizing His wrath with no mercy at this point. Lamentations describes basically the funeral of a city. Not only is this a funeral of a city, but it's a tear-stained portrait of what used to be once a great city, one that has completely been destroyed and fallen by the wayside. Not only was it destroyed by the Babylonians in 587 BC as Nebuchadnezzar led this march or this charge in to destroy the city, God chose those people to do that to His nation. And so as you read through the book of Lamentations, it's a sobering account of the wrath and anger of God over a people who chose to turn their back on one that loved them so dearly. These songs, as you read them, are hard to read. I'll be honest with you. Because they talk about a people being murdered, women being brutalized, and children being cannibalized. All of this desolation takes place because of the sins of generations that has trickled down because of their choice to go into idolatry and to turn their back on God. And when you read through the book of Lamentations, one of the things you begin to understand is there is a truth to everything, but it's heartbreaking in the way that it's being approached. And so sometimes as you read through this book, it's very difficult to take in how God is choosing to do this to His people, because there's nothing sidestepped through this particular account as God is going to talk and tell this particular account through the author as he's writing to God asking and begging for simply a small ounce of mercy that might be given to them based upon their past transgressions. But as you read through the book of Lamentations, I want you to understand one thing. It's not about you. We tend to do that as we open up the Bible and allegorize it and put a metaphor to it. And that's common. There's nothing wrong with that. When we read the Bible, we tend to do it in a specific way, a way that we're taught. So we read a particular passage and we try and pull something out of it. But might I suggest when you read the book of Lamentations to take it at face value for what it says and as the author is writing this, to understand there's not much hope given in this entire account. Really, the only hope that you'll pull out of this is in chapter 3. But really, it's simply a description of what happens to those who choose to disobey God. And so sometimes as we read through the Bible, we do something like this. And tell me if this sounds familiar. God punished the people for their sins as you read through the book, right? But He still loved them no matter what. He was always going to be there for them. So has there ever been a time in your life when you've done something really bad and God has been there for you? We tend to allegorize and metaphor into a situation sometimes with the Bible, but you cannot do that with the book of Lamentations. That's not why it was written. Though we pull hope out of it, but even as you look at the book, as the book closes towards the end, there's really no hope given. Because in these five short chapters, you begin to see how horrible a nation has gone into sin. The author of Lamentation is singing these terribly sad songs about the fact that the people of Jerusalem are bearing the sins of their fathers. Now, we understand in relation to bearing sins, it doesn't mean we take on the sins of our past generation. Ezekiel 18, 20 and 21 tells us that. The father shall not bear the iniquity of the son, neither shall the son bear the iniquity of the father. But based upon what they had done, the consequences and the responsibility of those past transgressions had trickled down. Now, this generation is now feeling the effects of previous generations. And brethren, you've heard me say it before concerning those when we choose not to take our children into Christianity to teach them the ways of God, that it only takes one generation to break the cycle of Christianity. And so what begins to happen is we see the trickle-down effect of that, because not only is that family removed, the next generation's family removed, and the next generation's family is removed. So all of this is taking place because of several generations previously who had walked away from God and said, "We've got this." Idolatry sounds much better. You know, as a matter of fact, God, we don't think you're good enough to be our king. Give us an earthly king. That's what we need. God said, if that's what you want, that's what you'll get. And even as we see the transgression, as we see the history unfold of all the kings in the Old Testament, most of them fall short of what God expected them to do. And so now as we get to the book of Lamentation, which simply describes the account given in 2 Kings 23 and 24 concerning this departure of not only how he had toppled Jerusalem, but now he's about to bring down Judah. Now we're seeing the author unfold how horrible the situation is that's taking place. And so the punishment for all of the injustice, the rebellion, the idolatry of the falling away of this particular generation, the perspective that this author gives us is that God is no joke. Because as you begin to read this, just from the very beginning, the author says the city is simply lonely, that used to be full of people. She's like a widow now that everyone ignores. This one great city that everybody knew to be a nation of God-fearing people that had served God, that had been that city sitting upon the hill that Daniel had prophesied about in Daniel chapter 2. That Zion, that great moment that everybody was going to see, was now lying in ruins. There was nothing left. And so when we think about that from this perspective, it looks as if God might very well be done with His chosen people. But one of the things the author does is that he urges and helps us to understand the epic of this story, into which eventually everything is going to fit and take place through the hopes of Jesus Christ. Though we don't specifically see that given in the text, we begin to see it unfold, because what we see is Jerusalem's dreams are going to be dashed and smashed, completely taken away. And so what happened to all of humanity because of Eden is now happening specifically to the nation of Jerusalem and the city itself. But, like I said, there's not much hope given in this book, but just a few verses. And if you look at Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 24, there's just that glimmer of hope through all of the horrible things that are happening in this nation at this moment. He said, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I do have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fall not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in Him." So the author seems to believe God might never forgive them and restore His people back to their honored place, but he does have an ounce of hope in the fact that hopefully He will have some sort of mercy upon them. But it's interesting how this book ends if you look at Lamentations 5, verses 21 and 22. You see, typically we would think this would end on an uptick, right? A great ounce of hope, something to shine that light that this is what we have to look forward to. But considering the situation the city was in, it's interesting now how the author is going to end this particular account in lamenting for a nation. He says, "Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are very angry with us." Now imagine as they're grasping for this ounce of hope in this situation. "Lord, turn us back to you. Help us look back to who you are. Lord, things are pretty bad where we're at from our perspective. And we just hope you have not forgotten about us and turned your back on us." Now think of that in desolation and despair that they're in this particular situation. People are literally cannibalizing their own children to eat because they're so starved and famined. Those who used to be rich are now poor. Those who used to reign high supreme in the temples, those who used to be the high priest, are now considered nothing and aught and dirty old men in the streets. this once great society of God's people no longer stands as that shining light for the world to see, that every nation would flow through who and what it represented. And so when you see Lamentations, it helps us to understand the only thing that he's put his hope on is in the character of God himself. And what he paints for us is to help us understand the character of God. You know, the world likes to paint this picture of God as this big old softy, don't they? Like he's this great grandfather, right? You grandparents know you don't punish your grandchildren. Shake your head, yes, we don't. Because they do nothing wrong. And that's the way the world looks at God sometimes. And God is a merciful and he's a loving and he's a forgiving God. The Bible tells us that through Jesus Christ. But at the same time, some people also forget, as Paul paints for us in Romans 11:22, that says, "Behold the goodness and the severity of God." Because God has an anger and a wrath that must be cooled and satisfied, and that's only done through Jesus Christ. So here's a nation that has fallen further and further away, and because of that, they're in desolation, despair. They have nothing left, and they said, "God, if there's anything, don't turn your back on us." You see, this portion is all the author has left. He has no home, he has no food, he has no money, he has no land. But when is the hope realized then? So as we zoom out of this particular account here, we shouldn't think of this hope in God's steadfast love being realized in return from captivity, because even when the Jews had returned to Jerusalem and rebuilt, they continued to be harassed. They continued to be not taken care of because of the land and the Greeks and the Romans. And most importantly, it's the only small portion of the Jews that returned that actually went back to following God. A great portion of them completely abandoned him altogether. And so it wasn't just as they come out of this situation and God brings them out of captivity and says, "You know what? Here, I'm going to give you a portion of your city back. I'm going to let you build the wall. I'm in charge of all of these things." Even after everything they had been through, brethren, these people still turned their back on God and walked completely away. A large portion of those that he considered his people. And they still didn't learn. So the message of the gospel is that Jesus is the one to fully and finally take away all that sin and put it upon himself. Because certainly as they were lamenting over the fact of what was taking place with them and what was going on, they didn't see any hope, just maybe perhaps a small glimmer, that their portion was in God, hopefully that he was going to continue to have mercy upon them. But Jesus coming and dying and going through what he did and being raised to walk in newness of life on that third day, God keeping his promise to the fearful, those that choose to serve him, is showing his steadfast love for us. And so what we see from the book of Lamentation is that we learn something, but we need to traverse it and bring it forth to today. And so I do challenge you to read through this book, but what you can take from it is that you can see 2019 in it. Because you begin to see a nation unfolding in and of itself that is following in the same steps as Jerusalem. And so the author of Lamentation was right to look beyond the destruction, and he was right to put his just a small glimmer of hope in his steadfastness of God's love. But though it took hundreds of years, God certainly didn't disappoint us, right? John 3:16 tells us that. But one of the things I want to impress upon us, and because we don't have time to read through the entire book, is we need to learn how to lament. The definition of lament simply means to mourn something. Sometimes even to the point of wailing, making a large sound and bringing attention to something. And so here the author, which some believe to be Jeremiah, we don't know. Here the author is lamenting over a nation, just as he did when they were in captivity. Remember, Jeremiah had the shortest retirement of a gospel preacher. Because he said, "God, I can't do this anymore. Find somebody else to do this." He said, "Well, you know what? Never mind. This fire is shut up in my bones. I've got to speak and tell people about you." And with that, he did exactly that. He cried and lamented over a nation. And then we see what happens as we get into the book of Lamentations because of what they did. But brethren, in our society today, we've become so numb to situations that we no longer lament and make a noise about it. Because it becomes status quo to us. We need to learn that it's okay to admit the stark reality of our circumstances. And we, as a body of God's people, have to take action because of that. Case in point, the state of New York just passed a law this past week that says abortion is now legal up to the point of birth. Does that not make us wail and mourn over a society that says that's okay to kill children up to the point of being born into this world? Is it okay that we see the fact of human trafficking and those things that are taking place in the great country in which we live, of which we say nothing to and we just consider that 6:30 evening news? Or we see a nation that's falling by the wayside that doesn't want to prevent child abuse or death itself. Brethren, these are the things that we should hate and that we should lament over. Not that we choose not to, but that we become numb to them and they simply become an after story to the true story. And so we have a nation here in the book of Lamentations, an author that's lamenting over the fact that his country is desolated and falling to the ground. And we need to stop trying to find the silver lining in these things, brethren, because there isn't one. These are the things as God's people that should concern us, things that we should wail and make a noise over, because it's not okay to kill God's innocent children just because of your mistake. But society says it's okay. And society said it was okay to fall away and fall into idolatry and do what they wanted to. God says, I'll show you that it's not okay. We need to stop downplaying things and we need to admit how much we hate those things. And the world needs to know that through the light that we shine for Jesus Christ. And that we say, no, it's not okay. No, it's not okay for the amount of child abuse that takes place today and child neglect and abortion and spousal abuse and all of those things that take place in our society that we sometimes look as an afterthought or turn a blind eye to because we don't want to be involved. Brethren, that was not the way of Jesus Christ. Because when you see the city falling to its knees, like in Lamentations, Jerusalem and Judah together, as they were crumbling to the ground, they were simply asking for an ounce of God's mercy. God, just please don't forget us. Brethren, if it's not our prayer every night when we pillow our head that we ask God not to forget us as His people in this nation, then we need to start to. Because if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves just like the city of Jerusalem in Lamentations, groaning and asking God to have mercy upon us. God says, these things are not okay. God says, I hate these things, and you should too. And this isn't being morbid or pessimistic. This is being realistic and biblical. Because when I heard that about the state of New York, it literally made me sick to my stomach. Not that any form of abortion at any rate, at any time, is right. But that to the point, to end a child's life, up to the point that he's gone through gestation and he's going to be born. Brethren, that should make us absolutely sick to our stomachs. And it should make us wail and mourn and lament over the fact that this is what our country has come to. In the midst of our lament, we must never forget to praise God and put our hope in Him. God, help us to show them the error of their ways. God, help us not to fall into their trap of falling into being blind to those that are wrong and those that do wrong. One of the things I'm grateful for is that Jesus gives us hope. He gives us a confident expectation of what we have to look forward to. But do I also think that we have a responsibility while we're here to plant the seed and teach people the gospel, to help shine that light so they know those things are wrong? I say absolutely and amen. Because if we don't, I don't want to stand before God and Him say, did you not read? Just as Jesus said, have you not read? But the hope only makes sense and it only works as a bright light if we're willing to be honest about the darkness. And brethren, we understand there's a lot of darkness in the country that we live in. And we know that it's not always painted as a pretty picture. And I also understand we live in the greatest country of the freedoms that we enjoy, but also because of those freedoms we have darkness. If we continue to act like there's no darkness, brethren, there's no hope for us. So we have to learn how to lament. And we must always walk in the light, 1 John 1:7. But we also have to see the darkness for what it is and what it represents. And so I encourage you this week, if you've never read through the book of Lamentations, to do so. It'll probably take you a whole 20 minutes. But you will come out with a greater appreciation for who God is and His anger and what He does to His people when they don't follow His commandments. God is not one to be played with, and He will reckon in that day those that choose to walk away from Him. And as hard as that is for us to swallow sometimes, that's who He is. But at the same time, He is that loving God who shows mercy to His people. Brethren, heaven help us all if we don't lament over the horrors of this world. Heaven help us all if we choose to be numb to the bad things that take place in our society today and we simply say, it's just another story on the news. Because if those things don't bother us, brethren, I'm afraid our conscience has become seared. It's become seared. I'm thankful that we have a God that loves us. And I'm thankful for the fact also that He gives us time to repent, that we should be lamenting over the situation in the world in which we live today. It's nothing new. Generations pass. Horrible things happen. But we don't want the sins of the forefathers to fall upon us because we did nothing. They did nothing. And because of God, and because of that, God punished them accordingly. God wants everybody, everywhere to repent and come unto the gospel of truth, 2 Peter 3:9. He's patient with us, He's long-suffering, and He's kind. But eventually that patience will run out, and one day He's going to come and send His Son to bring us all home, to meet Him in the air and to go and be with Him. And so we have to make sure that we're prepared and that we're ready. And so today is our opportunity to do exactly that, to be prepared. You see, here was a nation that failed to be prepared. They chose rather to go the ways of the world. That's what they chose, to follow after idolatry and do those things. And because of that, we see exactly what happened to them. God had no mercy upon them in those moments. And because of their sin and their transgressions, He let them wallow in it for a while. And He said, this is what you get when you don't obey Me. This is going to be your lot in life when you choose to walk away from Me. So much so that we see how bad it was. The funeral of a city, and we don't want that to be us. And so today, because every person has opportunity to respond to the gospel, we all do today, and you do as well if you've never chosen to put on Jesus in baptism. If you've never put Him on in baptism, by first repenting of your sins, confessing your faith that He is the Son of God, and finally having your sins washed away, that's the first step in obedience. And that's all He asks of us, is to be obedient to Him. And so today we all have opportunity to do that. And if you need to do that, we want you to do it today. If you're here as one who's fallen away, if you're struggling, you just simply need some prayers and encouragement, we want to do that too. You know, the great thing about God is He never leaves us and He never forsakes us. Because even in the moment of lamenting, as this particular author was, he knew God was listening. He knew that God was paying attention. But God left it to our example, right? Whatsoever things written aforetime, written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And so today, if you need to respond, and if we can help in any way, let us know as together we stand and as we sing.